2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little.
They say that the last place to get converted is a person's wallet. To give our money away is particularly painful. If you have money, you have security. You can look forward to a comfortable retirement. You can provide for your family. You can sweeten life in various ways. If you do not have money, every month is an anxiety. Will I make it through the month? In extreme cases, the poor get into unrepayable debt. To have to pay for a car bill or replace something in the house means they take out another credit card, which they can't afford. So the last place to get converted is the wallet. Because for the affluent person, it means giving up that cherished security or that pleasant experience, a holiday perhaps. For the poor, to decide to give is a serious sacrifice. How should we approach the subject of giving? The Apostle Paul is collecting for the poor in Jerusalem, poor Christians in Jerusalem. The affluent Christians in places like Corinth are expected to make things a little bit fairer for their less well-off brothers and sisters in Christ. Three headings on your sheets and on the screen. Giving is a mark of grace. Giving is a mark of Christ-likeness, and giving is a mark of equality. Firstly, then, giving is a mark of grace, verses 1 to 7. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Grace, in Christian thinking, means undeserved love and blessing. So we are saved by grace alone. We contribute nothing to our salvation. It is entirely a gift from God. But then, it is God's grace that enables us to live the Christian life. And I've got some examples of that. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. So here, grace is like a teacher. It teaches us how to live. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Here, the grace of God makes Paul a Christian and it makes him a hard worker. He doesn't take the credit for himself. He says it was God's grace working in him. Well, here in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, grace is given to the Macedonian churches to give their money away. The reason they are generous is not that they are good people in and of themselves. It is that God has changed them by his grace. Verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Paul is able to testify, verse 3, that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. That's very interesting. One close friend of mine shared a similar testimony. They're not wealthy people, but as they have given genuinely, sacrificially, beyond what looked possible on paper, God has always honored their generosity. And they have, if not prospered greatly, always remained in the black. This is a very sensitive subject. Some of the prosperity teachers, particularly in America, will tell you that if you give beyond your means, God will prosper you greatly. I don't think that's right. If you are poor, there's no guarantee that sacrificial giving will lead to affluence. I was hearing of some Christians who went into debt to obey their church leader, who was telling them to give beyond their means. God didn't prosper them. They just got into debt. So we must be very cautious with these verses. But in this case, the Macedonians were enabled to give beyond their means. Their poverty led to generosity. And Becca and I have seen this. We've been to Eastern Europe a few times and been hosted by very poor Christians who gave to us beyond their means. Becca was hosted with some other girls. It was before we were married. And the host stood and watched Becca and their friends and our friends eat while they themselves went hungry. I guess most of us know nothing of this level of generosity. But when we are generous, we change. Or to use Paul's phrase, God's grace works in us. Grace worked in the Macedonians, so that verse 3b, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They really want to give their money away. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So there's an important principle. We give ourselves first of all to the Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I must obey him. Only secondarily do you give yourself to church leaders. If we are asking something of you, say a financial sacrifice, you must ask yourself, is this something the Lord Jesus is asking of me? Because I've given myself to him first, and secondarily to Christchurch. However, in the case of the Macedonians, they really want to give their money to the apostle for his collection. So verse 6, we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Titus is a servant of the apostle. It's his job to collect the money from Macedonia and from Corinth. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Well, how are we doing? Are we excelling in the grace of giving? Are we so changed by God's grace that we want to give our money away? We are very grateful to all of you who give to Christchurch. Your generosity enables the gospel to be preached. If you're not giving to the church, you might just want to think about it. If you can't afford it, that's absolutely fine. If you can afford it, the Apostle Paul would say, excel in this grace of giving. Number two, giving is a mark of Christ-likeness. Verses 8 and 9. I am not commanding you. Verse 8. That's lovely. He's not commanding them to give their money away. He wants the Corinthians to come to such a point that they want to give their money away. It's said that one volunteer is better than 10 pressed men. God's looking for generosity from us, springing from hearts of love for God and for other people. Verse 8b, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Do we have sincere love for God and others? How do we compare with the earnestness of the Macedonians? I also don't want to press anybody into giving. I just want us to be like Jesus. My job is to teach Christ-likeness, and financial giving should follow. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. I expect you've heard of John Wesley. He was one of the leaders of the Methodist revival of the 18th century. Wesley, early on in his ministry, was earning £30 a year. It was enough to live on. It cost him £28 a year to live. He gave £2 away. As his ministry developed, he became very successful. Methodism grew greatly as a movement. Moreover, his books sold very well indeed. His books brought in an income of thousands of pounds a year. But Wesley continued to live on £28 a year and gave the rest away. When he died, he only had a few coins in a drawer. That's very Christ-like. Jesus did not accumulate wealth. Jesus was full of grace, in verse 9. He was rich in heaven, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Put simply, Jesus sacrificed heaven for the poverty of the cross, so that we might be saved from the poverty of hell for the riches of heaven. If I may pause for a moment, this whole sermon on financial giving is entirely beside the point if you've not been made rich spiritually, if you've not been saved from the poverty of hell for the riches of heaven, if you've not made Jesus your King and accepted what he did for us on the cross, if you've not been saved from hell for heaven. But if you have been saved, if you do have the riches of heaven to look forward to, is that impacting your financial giving? The Apostle Paul doesn't want to command us, but rather he wants the death of Jesus and the example of Jesus to engender within us a sincere love for him and for his people. Number three, giving is a mark of equality. In other words, we should want to promote fairness. We should want to equal things up in the Christian church. We shouldn't be content that some Christians are in utter poverty in the developing world while we live in affluence. I don't think we should argue, as some do, that Paul was a communist, that he wanted everyone to have exactly the same amount of money. It would be anachronistic to call Paul a communist. Moreover, it would be unfair to make Paul the author of a morally and economically bankrupt system. He doesn't believe that a road sweeper should be paid the same as a doctor. If we did that, nobody would be willing to make the effort of passing a lot of exams. Paul doesn't believe in absolute equality of income, but he does believe that we should make things fairer or more equal through our generosity. Verse 10. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first, not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. The Corinthians were the first to want to give. Now, finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. So, finish the work of giving. Give according to your means. Give what God enables you to give. Don't be like those Christians who got into debt. Verse 12, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. God is looking for willingness. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. So Paul doesn't want the Corinthians to bankrupt themselves so that the Jerusalem Christians might be rich, rather that there should be less inequality between them. The word equality can also be translated fairness. It's not fair that the Jerusalem Christians should be in need while other Christians prosper. And it's not fair that Christians in the developing world are in need while Christians in the West live in luxury. It should be on our consciences. And that's why many Christians give to Christian charities, which promote gospel proclamation alongside poverty relief. And, of course, relief of the suffering of the persecuted church. That's a very good way of promoting equality. Perhaps a child is supported through compassion and educated. The education will be what lifts the child out of poverty, whilst all the time meeting their greatest need, which is their need for Christ. And in verse 14, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. That should be our goal. We should want all Christians to live well. We know there are great obstacles to this. For example, corrupt governments in developing countries. But we should want there to be equality. And we should give what we can to gospel teaching charities and perhaps to Release, which supports the persecuted church. So, verse 15, quoting Exodus 16, verse 18, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. We in the West should not have too much, while others have too little. God expects us to give. Giving is a mark of grace. Can you point to the grace of God in your life? Can you say, yes, God has saved me. God has made me one of his people. I am trusting in the Lord Jesus. He is my King. If that is true, is the grace of God producing generosity in us? Is the grace of God engendering sacrificial giving? Grace is a mark of Christ-likeness. Giving is a mark of Christ-likeness. Jesus becomes poor to make us rich. He is our example. Can we justify our luxuries compared to Christ's example? We've mentioned John Wesley and his example. John Stott was another example. Following Jesus, John Stott lived simply and sacrificially. Stott's books sold extremely well. Other best-selling Christian authors by private jets. Not John Stott. He lived in two rooms. Wesley and Stott followed Jesus' example. Do we? And thirdly, giving is a mark of equality. Does it bother us that there is great inequality in the Christian church? We should be committed to fairness and equality. Our giving should reflect this.